So tonight is prayer praise night, and it's a privilege to be able to come together like this and pray. I'm glad our nation does an annual prayer night, or prayer day, actually, tomorrow. Once a year, our nation sets aside some time to pray together. Of course, the Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. So as believers, we pray 365 days a year, right? And the idea of praying without ceasing is moment by moment throughout your day about everything that comes your way. And so that's what we do as believers. But I'm so glad that our nation really does set aside at least a day that we can come together corporately in a public square and do that. So I'm looking forward to that tomorrow. And it says in James chapter 5 that the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man, woman, person avails much. In other words, accomplishes a great deal more than we probably really realize or understand. Because there's an element of prayer, really, that's kind of a mystery, you know? But we know prayer changes things. Prayer works. As a matter of fact, I'm of the opinion that you can do more than prayer after you've prayed, but you can't do more than pray until you've prayed, because it's the most important thing that a born-again Christian can do, really, is pray. And when we pray, you know, that's when Satan runs. Okay, so that's what we intend to do here in this room tonight, is spend some time in prayer. God says in Jeremiah 33:3, call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. And I really count on that, because I know that I don't know a lot of things. And so I'm calling to him and saying, Lord, show me. Lord, direct me. That's personal prayer. It's supplication. But there's also intercession. We're going to be doing a lot of that tonight, interceding on behalf of a whole host of things. And so finally, in 1 Peter chapter 5 says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. That's prayer. Prayer is an act of humility. Prayer is humbling yourself. Pride is, I don't need to pray, I could do it myself, right? Humility is saying, I can't do it myself. Lord, help. And that's what we want to do here tonight. And so we're going to do it a little bit different than some of the past praise prayer nights we've done. So we're going to get everybody in just a moment. I'm going to get you guys in small groups of 4 to 6 people. And then we're going to have leaders here in the church that are connected with a certain prayer topic, for example. And they're going to come up one after another, and they're going to introduce a prayer segment with a specific prayer topic and a verse that goes along with it, and get us into prayer. And we're gonna pray for that topic for 5 minutes, right? And then he'll close it out. And then another one of our leaders will come up. And this will be a time of targeted prayer on various topics that are so important today. Things like government, military, business, education, family, and so on and so on and so on. And so I'm going to ask you guys now to go ahead and just get yourself into groups. Just whoever's sitting around you, get in small groups of 4 to 6 people. Hurry up. Don't wait. Seize the moment. And I'm going to ask Scott Wentz then to come up once you're in your group. So hurry up and get your groups. And he's going to introduce the first prayer segment for tonight.
Has everybody had a chance to greet one another? Okay. All right. So I have, as Steve mentioned, good evening, first of all. My name is Scott Wentz, as Steve said. And I have thank you, Linda. I have the privilege of introducing the first prayer topic, which is our government. And we want to pray for federal, state, and local. our military, both active duty and reservist, and our first responders, police, firefighters, EMTs, paramedics. The verse that I was asked to read was 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 2, which says, I exhort for all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Now, I was asked to actually introduce this topic. I used to be a volunteer firefighter. I did that for more than 10 years. It was a very rewarding experience, and as I was thinking about it, I'm like, what am I going to share? And the first thing that popped in my mind is how many people do some of these different roles? So I actually looked up that today, in the United States, we have 2.4 million active military personnel and reservists. We have 324,000 police officers, 173,000 paramedics, 210,000 EMTs, and 1.2 million firefighters. And then I added countless other family members who are left behind as their folks go off into the line of duty. So one of the things I'll say is the most rewarding thing I ever did as a firefighter was not put out a fire or rescue somebody from a car wreck or anything like that. It was after 9/11, they actually asked, I went to Calvary Chapel, Philadelphia, and after 9/11, which was extremely tragic, they asked for police, firefighters, and EMTs to volunteer to go up to New York City and pray with families who lost loved ones and share the gospel. And it was the most humbling experience. So prayer is extremely powerful, and that's why we're doing this tonight. So I want you to start praying for the next 5 minutes. I'm going to keep track of time. And after 5 minutes, I'll close this out in the last minute for prayer, and then the next person will come up. So go ahead and get started. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, what a privilege it is to come before you this evening, Lord, and just to hear the prayers of my brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, as we lift up our government, Lord, at all levels, Lord. We pray for our elected officials. We pray for softening of their hearts, opening of their eyes, Lord, to the things of this world, Lord. Father, I pray for those that know you who are in service to their government, whatever level it might be, that they would be a bright light in just this dark world, Lord. We lift up our military personnel, both active and reservists, Lord, and the fact that they put their lives on the line each and every day for our freedoms, and I don't take that lightly, and I know you don't either, Father. Lord, we just lift up the many men and women, our first responders, Lord, that at the drop of a hat, Lord, jump into service, and as we would all run away from the danger they're running towards. So we lift them up to you in our communities, Lord. It's a dying breed of people who commit their lives to protection of our country, protection of our communities, our homes, Lord. So we lift them up. We ask that you strengthen them. We pray for their families, Lord, who are separated as they respond to that call of duty, as they put their lives into service. And Father, I do thank you just so much for the opportunity to lift our prayers and our intercession to you, Lord. We thank you for answer to prayer, Lord. Father, I do as Steve said, Lord, we are so grateful that we still live in a country where we set aside a day to pray, Lord, but we should be praying every day, be on our hands and knees, giving praise and thanks and all of our cares to you, Lord. We know that you're here tonight. We know your Holy Spirit is here. Just pray that you work in a powerful way and that you bless tomorrow in your name and be glorified above all names for all those that are praying here in our body and around this nation, Lord. We love you, Father. We thank you. We praise in your name. Amen.
Good evening. My name is Andrew. I'm on staff here at Calvary, and I have the pleasure of leading the time that we pray for the media, arts, and entertainment. The verse that I was encouraged to read this evening is found in Philippians 4:8. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And just like Scott, I was wondering, you know, what can I share this evening to kind of set the tone for what we're doing here this evening within the media, arts, and entertainment, and somewhat technology. And it's apparent that this last year has really ramped up in what we have consumed in the arts and the media, whether it's news or Facebook, social media. My own kids are very visible for me, a reminder that, man, there's so much stuff that we are ingesting through our phones, through all these different mediums that are affecting us. They're forming us. And sometimes those are the things we run to before we're running to the Word of God, the truth. And unfortunately, there's also those that are working and operating within the arts and the media, the news, the artists, those who are creating content that is full of God's word, God's truth. And there's been a shift that we should be praying that God would continue to raise up men and women who stand on truth, who provide truth in the news, truth in the arts and the media, so that we can navigate what's going on in this world in a right manner. One verse that I always post it on my Bible, as well as talking with my kids, is Psalms 101:3. I will not put anything evil before my eyes. And so as we go into a time of prayer, I want to encourage us all to take the time to think about those things. Think about those areas where we are looking for truth, whether it's in music, whether it's in news, whether it's in social media, and really have God fill us with His Holy Spirit to be better discerners of that truth in what we're consuming on a day-to-day basis. So at this time, we're going to take 5 minutes, and I just want to encourage you guys to pray for those areas where it's very forming of what we take in terms of all those different outlets. So we can pray now. Father God, you demonstrated the ultimate creativity when you created the heavens and the earth and everything within it, Lord. God, we are so thankful, Lord, that you have given us gifts, Lord. You have given us the expression of arts and music and truth, Lord God. And Lord, we and this world is up against a mountain of foolishness, folly, and sin that has hijacked the ultimate truth that comes from you, Lord. We need discernment in our homes. We need discernment in our schools. And we need discernment all across this earth, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to pour out your spirit of truth into our lives, Lord God. Drive us to your word, Lord. Drive those in these areas of influence, Lord God, to your truth, Lord God, and stand firm on that and not waver, Lord, and keep the words out of our mouths that we don't need to have there, Lord God. Keep the thoughts in our minds that don't need to be there out of there, Lord God. And God, we ask that you would just continue to move in our lives, Lord God, and move in these areas where we need to be guards in what we look through in our eyes, Lord God, and what we take in through our ears. And may we always filter it through your truth and your truth alone, God. We lift these things up to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hi, my name's Scott Shaw, and my prayer topic tonight is business. Businesses serve others. The verse for tonight on business is, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Colossians 3:23-24. So what do businesses do? Or what should they do? Businesses should delight in their customers. Businesses should support employees. Businesses should preserve the environment. Businesses should respect and invest in our community. Businesses need prayer, because God owns it all. And we are the stewards of all those resources. Recall with me the story of the Good Samaritan. And if you think back on that story, there's three distinct attitudes represented in that story. The first attitude was represented by the robber. He went and caught the guy walking from Jerusalem to Jericho. He beat him up. He robbed him. His attitude was, what you own is mine. Consider a second attitude of the Levite and then the priest. They saw the person beat up on the road, injured, walked to the other side to avoid that encounter, and pushed on. And their attitude was, what I own is mine, and you're not getting any of it. Consider the third attitude, the attitude of the Good Samaritan. He saw the person in need, he went up, he helped them, and his attitude was, what I own is yours, and I'll do whatever it takes to help you. Now, I want you to consider, and I think all in business should consider, a fourth attitude. Maybe a goal, maybe a biblically grounded attitude. And that would be, what I own is not mine. It's all God's. Amen. I am a steward, a caretaker, a trustee of everything that God's given me. When you get a compliment, people are simply confusing you with the gifts, talents, and blessings that God has given you. So let's go ahead to our prayer groups on that. Lord God, challenge businesses to realize that you have provided all the resources needed to serve our society and our fellow man. Give these businesses the wisdom to understand that you own it all and deserve the credit for a business that flourishes. And Lord, strengthen all of us, all of those involved in the business community, to be aware of their responsibility to carry out a marketplace ministry right where they are, no matter what task they have in that business, to be a light amongst their fellow colleagues in those businesses. We ask all these things in Jesus' name, amen.
Hi, everybody. I'm Dave Gilbert on staff here. And the next topic is education. And it's something that's very important to me because I have a son who is a high school, I guess elementary through high school principal over in the Harrisburg area. So he used to be a teacher. And I know a little bit of the stress the teachers and administrators go through. So I'm real happy that he's a Christian and he's standing up as much as he can to make an influence on people. But the scripture we're going to read is in Proverbs 2, verses 3 through 6. If you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. I also think of Proverbs 1:7 that says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And so we can pray for our administrators, for our Sunday school teachers, for our regular teachers, that they would learn the fear of the Lord, because that's the foundation of all knowledge. Father in heaven, you are the great educator. You have educated us in your word. But we also pray now for our schools, our teachers, our administrators, that you would educate them through your Holy Spirit and through the Word of God. Raise up people that can get into those professions. We pray for our Sunday schools. We pray for our schools. We pray for our homeschool teachers as well, that you would give them the fear of God and the wisdom of God so that there can be real change in our nation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hi, I'm Tim Robbins, and I'm here on behalf of my family to lead us in a little session about and talking about family. And for my kids who are watching, it's time for bed, so go put your pajamas on. I'm already wearing mine. So today, I'm going to read a verse here about the house divided against itself cannot stand, and that's Mark 3, 25. And it reminds me of a parable that I just thought of on the way up here, of a Satan having a yard sale, and he was selling off all of his old tools, and bow saws and band saws and sanders and all that. But there was one tool he wouldn't give up, and that was the wedge. He said, this was my most powerful tool. And I think it's really important as we recognize in our households that there are a lot of pressures, but one of the big ones is to attack our families. And so I actually offer an alternative thought for what we should be doing. And so Psalm 78 says, my people hear this teaching and listen to the words that I say. I will open my mouth and I will tell stories. I will utter the hidden things, the things of old, the things that I have heard over and over from my ancestors, from those believers who have gone before me. I will not hide them from their descendants. I will tell the next generation praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and his wonders that he has done, how he has decreed the statutes of Jacob, esteemed the law of Israel, and given us his word that he has commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children too. So this next generation will know those things. Every child yet to be born, and dear God, let's save some of them, that they in turn would tell their own children. So as we pray, let's pray now that we could tell the truth to our children and our children's children and prevent a divided house. And God, our Heavenly Father, who loves us and cares for us and diligently seeks after us, Lord, we pray against the enemy who seeks to divide, to isolate, and to kill. Lord, we pray in our own households, Lord, that you would reign supreme, Lord, that God, as we call upon your name and ask you to break down the walls of separation between those who you have knit us together with, Lord, that your glory would go forth first out of our household and then out to the other parts of the world. God, we give you this glory and this honor. We thank you for the families that you have given us. We ask you to help us be good stewards, to be wise, to be gentle, but to tell the truth. And Lord, to tell of the great things that our God has done at home first, in Jesus' name.
So for real, it's my turn this time, if you saw me get up three times. My name is Becky, and I'm honored to lead us in praying for the church tonight. There's a lot to pray for the church, right? As our church and the church as a whole in our country and also universally in our world. The Bible says in Matthew 16, 18, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And isn't it good to know we know the end, right? But the end, we win. We are with God and we are restored forever and we're a body intact. But then there's the in-between that we're praying for right now. And we know that the church is struggling just as much as our world is struggling, really, in a way, and that we as a church in many places have compromised truth, and we maybe have been too heavy on grace and too light on truth, or too heavy on truth and too light on grace, and so we can just pray for that perfect blend of truth and grace in the churches, and that churches would stand keeping their light on Jesus Christ, that he wouldn't be moved out of the center and replaced with things of this world, because the world doesn't need the church to answer with their answers. They need the church to answer with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so really the only way that we can stand well and do it well done as God calls us to is to stand on the word of God and to stand focusing on Jesus Christ and to love one another well. And so as you pray, and pray for church leaders, because there's so much darkness around us that sometimes it can feel really heavy, and that we all churches around us stay focused on Jesus Christ and united in that way, so that we're a hospital for the sick and we're help for the lonely and we're good news for people who just know the bad news. And so if you would just pray for that now, and anything else you think of pertaining to the church, but for false teachings that are abounding in probably multiplying more than ever, we just pray against that, that people will be discerning and wise, and that we'll teach the next generation really well to be the church and how to love the world without giving the world's answers. So will you pray now? Lord Jesus, thank you for hearing our prayers. Thank you for being the leader of the church. Thank you for creating your community among us and for giving us the gift of each other the gift of your truth, Lord, the gift of being taught. We just pray that we would do it well, that we would be the church well, that your word would reign over everything we do, Lord. Just like when the high priest in the book of Kings found the word and read it to the king, and he tore his robes because he was just blown away by it. Lord, we pray that churches who aren't reading your word would dust it off and would read it and would stand for what you stand for, Lord. You told us that you are the salt of the earth and the light of the world, and then you told the church that they're the salt of the earth and the light of the world, and that's what we're to be to each other and to the world around us. Thank you that you're using us to show hope and love and your sacrifice, Lord, and I pray that we would be faithful to you, that churches everywhere would repent if they need to of not honoring you and making you and your word central, Lord, and that you would cause all of us just to walk right before you, that we would do what is right in the eyes of the Lord at all times. So thank you again for the church, for what you're going to do in and through us, and the way that you're going to preserve and protect us. And we pray that we would share the gospel with those around us in the way that you would have us to. So help us to listen carefully to you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Good evening, everybody. Shalom Aleichem. Yeah, we just got back this morning from Israel. Odark 30. Thank you so much for praying for us. It was a great. Well, it's always great to go to Israel. I haven't had a bummer of a trip ever, but it was a very full trip. I'll give you information about that some other time. There's a lot of opportunities that God has for us that I'm going to be telling you more about. But it was a very special time. I'll tell you this, for those of you who are interested, and I don't know why you wouldn't be, but if you're, you know, we talk about being in the last days. One of the indicators of being in the last days is what God is doing, obviously, with Israel in general, the people of Israel, in the land of Israel. And the Lord says repeatedly through his word that he will bring all of his people to the land. Well, one third of all of Israel, all who are called Israel, live in the nation of Israel. The other two-thirds are scattered around the world. And, you know, I follow the reports, not everybody does, but, you know, I follow all the reports about how many people are making aliyah every year, you know, the Jews who are coming back to the land. Anyhow, very quickly, one of the things that always amazes us each time we go over is how much more construction is going on, how many more people are coming in. It's been 2.5 years since Renee and I have been there. Some of you were with us on the last tour, which was 4 years ago. And just seeing the amount of construction that has taken place, I always watch the hills around Jerusalem because it's a beautiful thing to see. But when you see the amount of construction, it's not just like looking at a city and saying, oh, look, they're doing a lot of construction. The whole point is God is fulfilling his prophecy about the dry bones. And he's fulfilling his prophecy about bringing his people in. People are coming in by the droves, and God is preparing Israel for what's about to happen but through this construction. So very interesting to see all of that. There's a lot I could tell you, but that's not the point of this evening. What a blessing it is just to come back and to hear everybody praying and to know that I still have a job. They asked me to come up and to pray. So you know, it's good for us to pray about all these different topics, and we should continue to do that. One of the things I think for many of us sometimes is if you have an infirmity, sometimes you think, well, will God ever heal? Or why has he not? You know, David says this, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. You can find so many of David's psalms And see the indicator there of obviously his relationship with the Lord, but the infirmity that he experienced, and you know, we can go into lots of detail there, but a lot of scholars believe that especially in his later years, David was really afflicted with something. And but Psalm 13 always stands out to me as one of those descriptors of how many of us feel sometimes, like, are you not listening to me? Why are you holding out? Why do you not touch me, Lord? And I think it's important for us to pray for one another. Paul certainly says in 1 Corinthians, is it the room or is it me? Am I just going to sleep? Because I'm on a whole different time zone here. It is the lighting in the room, right? Okay. Man, I got to wash these things. Paul says to the Corinthians, he rebukes them in 1 Corinthians 11. You know, here they are. They're getting drunk at the communion table. They're rushing in. They're eating all the food, drinking all the wine before anybody else can get there. And he says, and he rebukes them for not discerning the body, not recognizing those who are sick, who are in pain, who are troubled. And we believe it's important. We do it every time we have communion. And we believe it's important to discern the body and to pray for one another. Jesus said, and I think we're all very familiar with it, in Luke 4, he quotes Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That's the year of Jubilee. That's what he came to do, and that's the ministry also that he's given to us. Yes, to communicate it, to speak it, to each one of us to do it, but also, as Paul said, to discern the body and to pray for one another. So what we're going to do now is I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up. And many of you are dealing with something. It could be physical pain. It could be some sickness of some sort, or maybe you've recently received the diagnosis, or maybe it's been a long time ago. It doesn't have to be a physical ailment. Maybe it's a marital issue, a financial problem you just can't get out of. There are so many things. And it's not important for us to know what it is for you, because God knows what it is for you. What is important is that we take Paul's instruction, God's instruction, to heart and to do it, which is to discern the body and to pray for one another. So we're going to do this differently now. Rather than do it in groups, as a group, as the team begins to lead us through the song, if there's something going on in your life that you have need for prayer, then I'm going to ask you, as the Spirit leads you, to simply stand where you are. Just saying, Lord, I'm standing before you. I need your touch. And then those who are around that person, you see someone, a brother or sister, just go over and stand up and lay your hands on them. You don't need to ask what's going on. You don't even if you don't know the person's name, it doesn't matter. Just put your hands on them. God knows their name. God knows what's going on. And just pray. Just pray for them. And when you're finished, you know, you can say, look, I'll remember your face and I'll be praying for you this week. Okay, so let's do that.